Tappers. Hello. How's it going? It is the Thursday edition of the Daily Tap. It is December 13th, 12 days till Christmas. We are getting down to the wire, folks. I will say it feels good to get that first and second gift off your shoulders. Feels good. Feels great. You just kind of get on a roll a little bit. Also, too, thank you to all that have rated and reviewed the SnowTap Network on iTunes. You can do that. We love those. You just give us a 5-star, 4-star, whatever you're feeling. Leave us a review if you really feel inclined. We much appreciate that. Very easy on the app to do that. If you do use the podcast app, I've been using that more and more of late. It's really nice the way they Apple has set that up their recent changes. All right, so cool show today. I really like what we're talking about. We got Packer-Bear rivalry. Some people think, is it back on? And I will offer a different opinion on that. We'll also talk about if Vic Fangio can really be a head coach in today's NFL. We'll also discuss the Bucs loss to Indiana, a disappointing one in Indy on Wednesday night. All right. So, Keem Hicks came out today in the media, said, basically, you know, we heard Aaron Rodgers comment about beating Chicago, something we've done before, and we remember that, and that was sort of, he lobbed a grenade back over to Rodgers. Now, that led people to sort of say, well, is this rivalry back on? And what I'd say to that is, this rivalry never left. All right. I understand that the Packers have dominated the Bears in the last 20 years, basically. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have had their way with the Bears. Both quarterbacks have signature moments against Chicago. But the Bears-Packers rivalry has always been a thing. Now, it might not be as hated as Vikings-Packers, and part of the reason that Vikings-Packers is so hated has a variety of things, has something to do with the fact that the Brett Favre storyline, has another fact of the Vikings seemingly have always played dirty, and there's always been a challenge of when Favre would go to the Metrodome, he would completely shit his pants, and they've always played close games, they've always been neck and neck in the race. Yes, the Bears have sort of been off in the corner, but that rivalry was always important, and the rivalry has seen some spikes. I mean, we remember when Lovie Smith said what he did at his opening press conference about how he wanted to beat the Green Bay Packers and how that was important for him, and Lovie did a pretty good job against the Packers. There were multiple years where the Bears swept the Packers in the regular season. And then you had the fact that the Packers and Bears met in the NFC Championship game. These two teams met for the right to go to the championship. That will always be in their history, just like it will be for Seattle and San Francisco, like it is for others. If Pittsburgh and Baltimore were to meet for a spot in a Super Bowl, that would amplify their rivalry twofold. It will, especially in the last decade. So it's hard for me to be like, is this rivalry back on? This rivalry never left. This rivalry has always been a thing. Yes, Aaron Rodgers has done some magical things against the Chicago Bears. But if you listen to national podcast media members, who are Chicago Bears fans, they fucking are so rattled by A-Rod. Like, you listen to Dan Katz on Barstool Sports. Big Cat is the supreme Aaron Rodgers hater, respects the shit out of him, but he's scared of him, and he bothers him, and he hates him. Robert May is another noted Bears fan on the Ringer podcast network. He calls Aaron Rodgers the dragon, and he speaks in platitudes of Rodgers, but he also is deathly afraid of him going up against his team. So that, to me, has part of that rivalry. That adds an element to it, right? Aaron Rodgers is just as much of this rivalry as the, you know, Favre and the other guys were. Was this not a rivalry in the 80s when the Bears won 8 straight games? The Bears won 8 straight games in this rivalry. So they won for 4 straight years from 85 to 88. And was anyone saying back then, well, this isn't a rivalry anymore, the Bears are winning too much? No, the pendulum swung to the Packers. Now, could it swing back where these two teams are battling and there are close games all over the place? Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely possible. And they may face each other in the playoffs and the Packers may lose that game. But I guess I'm getting at is the Bears do not need the validation to make this a rivalry game if they beat the Packers on Sunday or they beat them in the playoffs in January. That has no bearing on this. This isn't a situation like the Brewers and Cubs, which I think people were trying to tie it in because the Brewers and Cubs rivalry definitely got heated up this year. But the Brewers did need that validation. They did need to beat the Cubs in 163 to sort of get that proverbial like, yeah, we are just as good as you guys. You have to pay us respect. This is a rivalry whether you like it or not. I don't think anyone on Packers and Bears are claiming this isn't a rivalry. This is. It's your division. It matters. It's very important. The history is long and deep, and any player who knows a semblance of it understands the importance of this game. So I don't think that's lost on anybody. So yes, were Hicks' comments sort of a different spin for the Packers-Bears? Yeah, but Hicks now has given Rodgers ammo. That's what he did. And Aaron Rodgers might have given that defense ammo, but in reality, he was just running through a playoff scenario. And he was right. We have to beat Chicago. We're comfortable doing that. And yeah, they are the best team in the NFC North. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is the fucking boogeyman. Aaron Rodgers knocking on your door, ready to play, is a scary thought. And we'll talk more about the game itself on the weekend watch list tomorrow. You can tune in for that. But you do kind of like the Packers' chances in this just because Aaron Rodgers has found a way to beat the Bears time and again. The Packers, since 2000, in the 2000s, in the aughts, they are 15-3 against the Bears. Do you realize that? They are 15-3 against the Chicago Bears. That is incredible. That means 15 out of the last 18 games have belonged to Packers. And one of those wins for the Bears happened in 2010 on a Monday night. Devin Hester returned to kick. I remember that one. Beating the Packers 20-17. That was one of them. So that's one. The Bears won on a Monday night in Lambeau. That was when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. And then the Bears also won in Lambeau on Thursday, on a Thanksgiving night, rainy, sloppy game in 2015 that made us all question a lot of things with the Packers only scoring 13 points in that game. So that means that the Chicago Bears fans have not seen a Bears victory against the Packers since 2010. That's 8 years. At some point, the demons start creeping in and you start wondering if that's ever going to happen. So maybe they do. Maybe Bears fans need to just see their team beat the Packers at home. Maybe that's needed and that's their justification, their stamp of approval of a rivalry. But for me, I think this has always been a rivalry. You can argue, who do you hate more? And I think when it comes down to who do you hate more, it's a myriad of things, or myriad. It's a variety. All right. So the team itself, the fan base, fine, whatever. It sometimes it's the how the media spins stories, like how Mike Zimmer was handled today, and it only took like 5 or 6 articles before people are like, well, wait, are you sure they shouldn't fire Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman for kind of letting this thing fall apart? It's weird it took that long. Mike Florio embarrassed himself today, and he always does that with the Vikings because he's a fan, and he really shouldn't write about the Vikings because he's a Big J, and he wants to keep those Big J creds. He should avoid talking about the Vikings. That it's not something that he's accustomed to. He's not really good at. So I think sometimes the Vikings are more annoying because of the spin zone and the media protection and the hype they get. The Bears are annoying, but they're not necessarily at that level. The Bears have to win consistently to be on that level of Vikings, where the Packers and Vikings just cannot stand each other. And I think the Bears and Packers will be chippy, but I don't expect it to be anything like Vikings-Packers. I think part of that starts with Mike Zimmer. I think Mike Zimmer does sort of bring that mentality. But it's interesting we bring up Mike Zimmer, because I'd like to talk about Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio might get a head coaching gig this summer. Yeah, this offseason, not this summer. He'll be there already. But Fangio is the defensive mastermind of the Chicago Bears. He was formerly of the San Francisco 49ers. He got to a Super Bowl with that team, led by Colin Kaepernick on the other side of the ball. Fangio is known as sort of a defensive genius. He does a really good job with schemes. He really knows what he's doing out there. He has frustrated Aaron Rodgers to no end throughout his career as coordinator of the 49ers and coordinator of the Bears. So he's definitely done some good stuff against Rodgers when he has the men to do it. So the question is, would anyone hire Vic Fangio? The USA Today wrote a glowing feature on Fangio and sort of said, here's why this guy deserves a head coaching job. And it was, I'm sure an agent pitched him that idea, because I think Vic has really tried to get himself out in the open, and he's sort of doing this aw shucks sort of thing. And some people want him for the Packers head coach. First of all, if you read Andrew Brandt's article, it's someone who's connected with the Packers. Does Fangio have any connections with the Packers? Not that I can see. Maybe he does, and we just don't know about it. Maybe at like a... Yeah, so yeah, I doubt that there is any sort of connection. So that's strike one. Strike two for me personally, might not bother you guys, but he's never been a head coach. So I looked at his Wikipedia today, and he has never been a head coach. He's never named interim coach. Remember the whole Jim Tom Sula incident in San Francisco when Jim Harbaugh was let go? He's never been a head coach. That has to worry you a little bit, right? Like, Bruce Arians came to Arizona, and that's who it was compared to in the article. Bruce Arians came to Arizona, but he already had an offensive coordinator. He had everything developed. He didn't really need to, let's say, just recreate the offense. It was a little more turnkey than I think it gets credit for. And then we get ourselves to Mike Zimmer. So we talked a little bit about John DeFilippo getting the axe yesterday, but what Zimmer has looked as portrayed, he was a lifelong defensive coordinator, finally gets the head coaching job, and he's a little rough around the edges. He's always been rough around the edges, and he's basically driving his quarterback into depression, and so in micromanaging along the way and involving himself in the running game, even though he's a defensive coach. That is all of the things that he's doing right now. And I just don't get it from a perspective of Mike Zimmer. I feel like he has more important shit to worry about, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It's just, it comes off as a bad look to me that you want to be so deeply involved with this team. You need all this kind of access. You need to be going over offensive plays while you're also studying defensive plays. It makes no real sense to me. And Zimmer is a guy who, I'm not saying Fangio and Zimmer are the same guys, but I think you at least have to consider the way Zimmer handles his team. Would it be very similar to Fangio, considering they both were lifelong defensive coordinators, both linebackers coach? Like, it all sorts of lines up. And I'm not saying he's going to be the same, but if you hear that if your mentors do that sort of shit, then maybe that's what you're into. Maybe that is what you're going to do. All right, wrapping up the show real quick. So the Bucks got dominated tonight. They got shit pumped by the Pacers. Very predictable. We had a podcast yesterday talking about the Bucks' expectations and how many winnable games they have. And then they turn around and lay an absolute egg, which is okay. Eggs happen. They've played 4 games in 6 nights. But still, I can't really excuse this one too much, because they just look flat-footed. They look like they weren't ready to play. Indiana punched him in the mouth early, and they let him bleed out for the rest of the game. Getting Victor Oladipo back was a massive boost for the Pacers. Pacers had 1-4 straight. We're feeling good without Victor Oladipo. Then you add Victor into the mix, and you're feeling even better. And so he did well tonight in a minutes restriction. Chris Middleton, 4 of 18. Giannis kind of looking passive. It was a weird night for the Bucks offense. Definitely didn't have it. They sort of ran into a buzzsaw that is the Pacers. Now, the Pacers are only a half game back of the Bucks for the division lead and the second wild card spot. They are coming up hot and fast. So we'll see if the Pacers can continue to make some noise or if they'll kind of sink off in that 4 or 5 seed. I really don't think anyone wants to be playing the Pacers in the second round. They are tough. They are gritty. They can definitely wear a team down as they did with the Bucks on Wednesday night. So Bucks definitely have a lot to clean up before they head over to Cleveland with this Rust Belt roadie. You really want to get 2 out of 3. If you get 1 out of 2, I guess that supplants the Toronto win and you sort of alternate, but really would like to see, you know, the sort of I think you just would really like to see that. So we'll see where the Bucks are not out. We'll see where they go. I'm not necessarily you would supplant the, if you go 1 and 2 this week, so let's just say you lose to Detroit on Monday. Let's count that as the week. You lose to Detroit on Monday. If you lose to Detroit on Monday and you're 1 and 2 on this Rust Belt roadie, not ideal, but you probably shouldn't have been 2 and 1 the week prior. So we'll just sort of let this slide and kind of call it a wash. But you do want to take advantage of beating your division. That's a good tiebreaker. You have Cleveland. You have Detroit. Take care of business against those teams. And then you get ready for New Orleans next Wednesday night, which should be a doozy, as it always is. All right, that does it for the Daily Tap for this week. We'll be back Monday. We will talk Packer Bear reactions. We'll also discuss what's the Bucks look like for next week. We talked a little bit about that, but what is that going to look like by the time we get to Monday? A lot can change in the NBA. All right, take care, guys. Have yourselves a great Thursday. We are almost at Friday. We'll just have to settle for Friday Junior. All right, take care. Bye.